This is Tiltcast, episode 286, Crazy Sauce, the word of the day.
And this week, guys, we talk Final Fantasy 15, Don't Starve, Shipwreck,
Don't Starve,
Doom, Starbound, and Elite Dangerous. Stay Jesus tuned. Christ,
the money sinks the R. Jesus.
Half of that went onto my fucking keyboard. Holy God.
That's also what he said.
That is awesome. And tonight is January fucking 22nd.
Oh my God.
It really is.
Jesus. We're almost through the first month of the year already.
We are back.
Son of a bitch.
I'm back, bitches.
If the blue smoke comes out of this fucker because you sprayed shit all over my fucking keyboard, it's all over, man. It's all over.
Well, you're the one that sprayed the shit all over it.
No, it was her.
You don't know.
What the fuck is a fresca?
You don't know. It's like when you have an execution squad, you don't know who fired the actual bullet.
Okay.
It could have been yours.
Well, it could have been, I guess, except for it came from the left side. It's
a fresca.
It's on your side.
So?
No, never mind. Never mind. Never mind.
I'm pissing off everybody today.
Never mind. It's Tiltcast.
A fresca is not alcoholic, and that's... The really sad part.
That's something. That's saying
really sad part,
something.
Ma'am.
So sad.
If you're toned down, I'm going to have to require that you have at least one glass while we podcast from now on.
Oh.
5.2 pounds, dude.
Yes. This is how much she wants to
not have a giant ass.
She's going to put us through sober her from now on. Uh-oh.
You're the only one who's never had to deal with me sober. What the fuck is that?
I don't know what you're showing off.
I don't know what she's showing off.
It's a nearly overweight girl dipping her boobs into a lake and two pictures of fishes freaking out.
It's Dory and the other guy.
Finding Nemo, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever remembers the other dude. It's Dory and Nemo and blah, blah, blah.
And
Marlin. Dad.
Marlin.
Marlin, because that's a name that needs to be a
ghost with clownfish.
Okay.
Marlin.
Marlin is a fish.
It's not that kind of fish.
Right. Exactly. I think
Marlin's parents had... very different expectations than how he turned out.
Maybe. Hi! Shit.
Yeah, we're back.
Oh my
wow.
God.
It's been a week. I can't believe I derailed it that quick.
You did. Holy God.
That's a talent.
It really is.
It's a talent. Just like falling into a well after being kicked when somebody yells at you, "This is Sparta!" That's a talent, too.
Rusty, what you been up to this week?
Talent.
What have I been up to? Oh, fuck me. Fuck me.
Is that what you've been up to? We can elaborate on that.
Really? No.
That's how I got his keyboard dirty.
It's all sticky. It's only on the left side. It
was not my fresca.
I guess.
No, it was something else before he came to the podcast.
I'm pretty sure there's a reason why his keys are sticking
together.
He's
trying to blame it on you.
Two or three times. I can barely walk right now. and I have been, I've been playing the fuck out of Final Fantasy 15. I think I'm up to the point where I won't have to play this game ever again. DLC, fuck it. I don't care.
Another update doesn't come out for another week, right?
I know. But hey, I don't have to worry about that because I'll be way over leveled with all the best gear in the game. I am 98% done with that game. When I look at my game hub on Xbox, all of the things are gold ticked. I am number one on my friends list for everything.
Jesus.
And I am one achievement away from maxing out the achievement score on it.
I think I need to I'm not going to finish it next week either. I'll be able to finish a campaign, then I can go back to it, new game plus style, and then play the new content.
I think I've logged, Xbox shows me at 4 days and like 13 hours. So
I mean, 111 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Wait, no, that's right. No, it's 115 hours, isn't it?
Something. I don't know. I can't math at the moment.
No, it's 111.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I'll tell you, there's a couple things about that game that just are right, and there's a bunch of things that are not right, and I feel very comfortable about it right now, to be able to say some of the stuff at the end of the game, the quote-unquote end-game shit that they threw in there, is not well thought out. Though, and because it's been out for a month, I feel comfortable talking about some of the things you can find on the freaking internet. There is a secret dungeon.
Is that the one by the garage?
No, the secret dungeon is by the volcano. And is only accessible if you get the flying car for beating the game.
Oh, I was trying to figure out how to climb in there.
So, there's that yellow road that you can't access by foot. You can fly your car into that area and land. There's a bunch of high-level enemies in the area, and then the dungeon is up on top of a hill. Once you get into the dungeon, and I'll tell you, don't waste your good food or anything like that, or don't rest right at the beginning, right there at the in that area, because it's useless. You can only get into the dungeon at night, and there's no enemies in the dungeon. The dungeon itself is enough enemy. It takes you 3 hours-ish to defeat that dungeon. And it's maddening. It is. It turns Final Fantasy XV into a platformer.
Gotcha.
And it's probably one of the best-built dungeons in the game. It is the best-built dungeon in the game because it will fuck with your mind.
Water dungeon, and that's pretty good, too.
It's all right. But this one will really fuck with your mind. There's gravity rooms that have the perspective in such a way that you'll be walking on a 45-degree angle piece, but it looks like this. Well, it looks like it's flat. It
looks like it's at a right angle.
Right.
But it's really at a 45-degree angle.
But it's at a 45-degree angle. That means
for those that know angle, that's like the peak of your roof.
Right, so
looks like they took the peak of your roof and then rotated it on its side to where it's like a table side.
Right. And then you're walking on, on one side, but you can go over the edge and walk on the other side where you would kind of think like you're going to slide off of it, but you're not going to. And you have to do multiple jumps onto railings about freaking yay wide to get through the place. It's freaking maddening. It's, about an hour and a half into that dungeon, it's called the Pityos dungeon or something like that. About an hour and a half into that dungeon, the novelty of everything that was that dungeon wore off, and I wanted the fuck out of it. But you can't save in the dungeon. Stupid me, I started that dungeon at about 8 o'clock.
You finished about midnight or something?
No, on a work night. So, I mean, I had to go to sleep. So, I did what I have not done since, like, the SNES days.
You left your Xbox on, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I left my Xbox on. There was no save spots in this dungeon, so I knew I had about another hour or so left.
If you just exit a game, it just picks up where you left off, right?
Yeah, not with this, though, and I wasn't about to test it, because getting to the point where I was at was bad enough. I didn't ever want to do that dungeon ever again, so I took my chances. So, some of the hours that's on my gamer card kind of inflated because I did leave it on overnight and I really wasn't actually playing it. But that being said,
most people will beat this game in about 50 hours.
Yes, and
you're 100 plus.
My save says 153. That's what my save says. I wasn't actually actively playing for 153 hours, but that's what my save says. That being said, I can tell you that the biggest enemy in the game is also the biggest pain in the ass.
And that makes sense.
And it's not the fact that it's hard. It's really not. It's just time consuming and boring, which is kind of a disappointment. But has glitches galore. I mean, if you love camera clipping and, you know, animation canceling and the fact that, like, no, you know, your party members can't hit anything because the spots where you can actually attack are too high for them to attack. It's broken in multiple different ways. I got the enemy down to about 10%, which took about 45 minutes, and then went to go warp point out, and I warp point all the way to Hammerhead from the mountain.
It's a long ways.
Yeah. Needless to say, I was outside of the aggro range of the boss, and it reset. 45 minutes, down the tube. I went, done. Fuck this right now. That was a controller bending moment. I didn't quite break it.
Those controllers are not cheap.
No. I almost broke it. The boss or the dungeon that I'm looking forward to is a level 99 dungeon that will not let you use any curatives, no curative items. You can't use elixirs or potions or anything like that. That's probably going to be challenging. But my goal is to get through that game completely, 100%, all the way through, and never look back.
Fair enough. I'm going to round robin a little bit, and if you have something else, we'll go back to it.
I'm good.
Babs, you've been gone for 3 weeks. What have you been up to?
Well, I had the flu, and, you know, so in between dying and everything else, I have been playing the living absolute shit out of Don't Starve Shipwrecked.
Don't Starve.
Oh, my God.
You got into Don't Starve.
I did.
I can't survive a night in Don't Starve, so...
I didn't get very far, I'm not going to lie. That game is punishing. But I've been playing with Waylani mostly, and then I realized that she's really only good for maybe, like, the first 7 days or so. Tops. So
good to get you the basics of how to play, though.
She is, but I kind of like Wicker Bottom because I like skipping the science machine.
And...
But she goes nuts fucking fast.
You just need to try playing with Wilson.
She's batshit.
Okay.
Winkerbottom is absolutely fucking batshit.
For those of you who don't know, Don't Starve is that weird survival game that's kind of... What did you say it was? Compare the...
The graphics are very Edward Gorey. They're very... Very Burton-esque.
They are. They are very Burton-esque.
And graphics, you know, I always say that. They're super important to me. It has to look good. You've been playing it, too.
Well, yeah, I brought that soup over to you, and I saw that you were playing Don't Starve, and I was like, hmm.
So we're, like, sitting there, and we're playing Don't Starve. He's like, I'm on day 4, and I'm like, I'm on day 5. So
oh, jeez.
That's what we did.
Yeah, for a while, I was shooting texts back to see how far we could not starve. I made it to day 47, I think?
47? Sounds about right. I can't remember exactly how many days, but I've made it about midway through hurricane season.
Yeah, I got killed by a seal-nado.
Wow. Not a shark-nado, but a seal-nado.
Seal-nado. The seal-nado is, it starts getting real windy, and it can attack at any time, and if it attacks at night, it's kind of hard to avoid, which is what happened to me. And there's different ways to keep yourself alive after multiple deaths, but I hadn't gotten to the part about getting a second resurrection. And so he came in the middle of the night, destroyed me, and the seal-nado comes in like a tornado. It's like the Tasmanian devil. And then after so many hits, what he'll happen is he'll get stunned, and it's this very adorable-looking seal that you have to go and, like, slaughter. Which is kind of great, honestly.
You clubbing baby seals now?
Is this what this is? He's a little baby seal.
Oh, so death God. You're most embarrassed about.
Day one, being eaten by a tree.
Now, for you, it was probably the trees.
Fuck those Christmas trees. I'd only chop down 5 palm trees, and the tree guards go all batshit crazy on me.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
So that hasn't changed since the original Don't Starve?
No, no,
the coconut
no,
trees
not.
Are the only ones that have the tree
yeah,
guards.
Yeah, the forest, the jungle trees don't.
Well, yeah, I think
have,
I went out.
You know, fucking poisonous snakes.
I think I went out on like day 3 or something and tried to kill a bunch of snakes when paying attention to my health. It wasn't really an embarrassment death.
I got killed by a flup. Like,
or getting killed by so the darkness as you get crazier will fuck with you. So they have a monster in the dark named Charlie, and Charlie is the shadow monster, basically.
Charlie's kind of a dick.
He's actually kind of creepy. Like if you're like at about half sanity and it's dark outside and you got a fire going, you'll see this hand kind of creep in and snuff out your fire, and then he'll attack you in the dark, and he does a shitload of damage. So, I mean, like, if you don't get a torch lit pretty quick, he'll kill you.
Yeah.
So, and that makes you more crazy every time he attacks you.
Oh, that's fucked up.
So
the whole game is entirely fucked.
You can't go over and slap his hand.
If you look at him. So, like, if you're not paying attention, he'll do it. But if you look at him, and you can run towards the hand,
it's like a weeping hand, angel.
It'll back up, and you hear this like weird tinkling sound. I can't describe it. It's like a winding a.
Charlie's peeing.
Yeah, it's like winding a really shitty broke toy or something. The sound, all the sounds in that are all like weird off the wall classical instruments, like weird, like kazoos and all.
The
sorts
soundtrack
of shit.
Actually really is very good too. Most games I'll play on mute because I just don't want to hear it. But Don't Starve, I will occasionally play with sound, and that's the only one.
Well, because everybody talks as all the sounds are done with instruments. All the voices are done with instruments. The only things that are not are just some of the animal noises. But
well, and you get cues from that. Like, you can tell if there's a snake in a bush because you hear the snake or the tree.
Or you can hear the music change and you know that something bad's about to happen.
Hmm. You know,
so
like
it's like a cartoon.
Seal-nado.
Or a seal nado.
I would.
Or the hounds, you'll hear them bark. And then you hear them bark, you know, you got about 2 or 3 minutes before they attack.
Yeah. A multiplayer version of it would basically be just like the fucking Hunger Games. It'd be great.
There is a multiplayer version. It's called Don't Starve Together.
Well, yeah, but you're not trying to kill everybody else. You're trying to help each other survive.
I don't know. I think it's PvP.
Interesting.
Really?
Hunger Games.
Don't Starve Together.
I think you play on servers, and I don't know if you can attack the other people or not, but...
Hmm.
I'm sure you could fuck with people and steal their supplies or something.
Probably.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Why not?
I could do that. I could do that in 7 days. I'll steal your supplies and go. You know,
I've got
put them in a box. Someplace.
I've got pretty decent at the game again. I feel reasonable enough that I can almost make it through the hot season. I mean, I technically have a game saved with no supplies at like day 47 that I haven't gone back to because I had to play other things for the show. But like her playing it kind of got me back into Shipwrecked. I actually like Shipwrecked the best because of the art style.
Yeah,
it's just cheery and dreadful at the same time, which is kind of great.
Cheery and dreadful.
It really is. It's fucking awesome. In fact.
Oh, God. Here she goes.
Here
start
she...
screenshotting.
I might. I've got it on iPad, so.
Yeah, that's actually kind of crazy. How much did you pay for it on iPad?
Like $3.99 or something.
That's a hell of a deal for that. And it wasn't on sale or
and
something?
And it's the full version. No.
Well, it's the full version of Shipwrecked.
Well,
so
yeah,
the full version on, like, PC is... All of them.
Yeah. No, it's yeah. Shipwrecked, but it's all of Shipwrecked, which for me is quite enough right now.
I think you can get all 3 of them. Each of the expansions is basically a full another game using a lot of the same concepts. So it's like Reign of Giants deals more with cave exploration. Shipwrecked deals more with islands, different recipes, different weapons. Some different weapons. Some of them are the same. Some of the recipes are the same.
Okay.
But it is for those who don't know, it's a survival game in a very cartoony, really dark art style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done in a 2D plane, somewhat isometric. And everything's hand-drawn. Everything's very roguelike, which is interesting that she's playing a roguelike.
That's what I really like. Honestly, if it hadn't been a roguelike game, I probably would have lost interest the first day. Because I would have had to, oh, God, I gotta start over on day 1. I'm back on this same damn island. I know exactly where all the goddamn trees are. But since it turns out different every time, that's what's held my interest.
Okay.
The only thing that I don't like about Don't Starve is there's not a lot of carryover to the next game. If for those that get really good at the game, you can actually go back and there's an adventure mode that you, after you get the certain parts, you get an adventure mode with five chapters that takes you through like a dungeon of sorts to go kill, what's his name? Maxwell.
There is a carryover. You can use a C word that you get between the original Don't Starve and Don't Starve Shipwrecked.
No, but most roguelikes will let you carry some of your experience over and items and things like that.
Right.
Well, it does to a point.
What's a carryover? If you use a
seaworthy. You can carry over your supplies. You can carry over whatever, yeah.
What do you mean? How do you do that?
I haven't done it because I don't have the original Don't Starve, but I've read up on it. And it's that ship that you find with the dead guy beside it. And then you use that to get into the original Don't Starve and Don't Starve and you get into your original game.
So if I had a game where it survived a long time, I could bring some of that stuff over.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting concept, but it's not what I'm talking about. Most of the concept of a lot of roguelikes, aside from the random level stuff that you're talking about, where a true roguelike will actually let you carry over something from the original game multiple times. So like FDL will let you unlock ships and modules. A game that I'm playing right now will let you take the cash that you have and build upgrades to your existing thing. So, like, there's a lot of, like, Enter the Gungeon doesn't have a lot of carryover. I guess there's something.
Rogue Legacy
had a really interesting thing. It's called Legacy because you have a character, and then he has kids. So after he dies, he leaves his children to take over that legacy. And they have mixed traits from him versus other things, whoever he married. And it could be like the half, you know, you'll carry over a lot of negative quirks plus positive quirks.
On top of the fact that they inherit the castle, which the previous previous heir had built up so that you get those bonuses plus all the money that the previous
That one is a actually. Really high ADD game, though, because it's so fast to die. Rogue Legacy, like, I couldn't survive longer than, like, 5 minutes.
I finally beat that game. It took me a while.
That's a pretty hard game, too. Yeah,
I finally beat that game, and it was satisfying, because I could finally set it down, saying, you know what, fuck it, I just did. I just beat it. Bad guy's done.
Never gonna beat Don't Starve. It don't work that way.
You're generating islands.
I am generating islands.
Framing deep dark waters, narrating upon vast ocean.
Reticulating flotsam. It takes forever to load.
I imagine on iPad.
Inserting sea monsters. And beginning snakes.
Jason, you been up to anything recently?
Not a whole lot new. I've been, because obviously I don't have much time for a whole lot of game lately. I've been back into Last of Us Remastered.
That's a good game.
Yeah.
And your wife playing a lot of that?
Great game. Yeah, she finished it.
So she went all the way back through it and then finished it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's actually been playing Watch Dogs.
Oh, so you're saying...
That game kind of goes into her wheelhouse, so...
Two or one?
One.
The original one? Oh.
Yeah.
Russ just sitting here watching me play Don't Starve. What do you think of the graphics?
I played the original Don't Starve, but, I mean, this... I'd say that this is better than the original Don't Starve. Not that I was any good at the original Don't Starve.
Who is? Seriously.
The point of Don't Starve is learning from your death and learning not to do it again. And one of the things I think that's different about this, it seemed a little bit easier to find the sacrificial stone. So once you find that, that gives you at least one extra life, and then you got to create the meat effigy, which I never managed to do in time, which will give you an additional life.
Even with Wilson and his beard?
Yeah. I never always
forget to do it. His magnificent beard.
I like his beard. I mean, I'm just saying. It's magnificent. That's why I play Wilson, because he gets a beard that you can shave.
Okay. What I run into with this is there's even less indication of what to do when you first play.
Oh, it's not intuitive. You fucking figure it out.
You have to figure it out.
It's the Dark Souls of survival games.
Well, I mean,
basically you just learn. That's what you're bringing back from each experience. I learned how to play it better this way. This is what I know.
Okay.
It's, you know, and then it gets into the season. So, like, once you get past the first season, then you're getting into, this case, it's hurricane season, which is on, like, day 22. Mm. Whereas in the other games, it was winter on day 22. Mm. And what happens with hurricane season is it rains a lot, or it's, like, monsoon season or something like that. It rains a lot, the tides come up a lot, the islands basically shrink, and then everything gets wet, and then your sanity decreases when you're soaking wet. So you're dealing with sanity all the time, so you got to craft umbrellas or craft like a lean-to that will keep you dry. You got to have your food situation pretty good mm-hmm. and set up so that when
you're not going to be going anywhere.
And so you're not going to do a lot of traversals, so you should have found some gears and you should be making your fridges and things like that. So it kind of has a whole different angle to it.
I would fail at this game so horribly.
Yes, we all do.
You would.
I still can't make it past the whole first year. I mean, I've been
playing that game for a while. I can't fucking make it past hurricane season.
But it's a learning process, and it's interesting every time. It's a time suck. That's actually what ended up being 3 days of my gameplay the other week was this, because I got back into it, and then I realized, I was like, oh, I need to finish up a couple things for Game of the Year, which I'm going to get into. I'm going to finish Doom. I fired that up the other night, and I was just too tired. I've been in the middle of recruiting at work for a department I work for, yeah. And I've been running pretty much all of it, like me and my boss, and then I'm probably 75% of all the recruiting. Jeez. And I, you know, recruiting
you like... You always are, though.
No, not always. This time around, I was the one that was, quote-unquote, the most available or the only one that would figure out time. So I did, like, 3 days worth of work today catching up, which I don't know how that happened. I asked for help. But, you know, I'm getting to the point where we're talking about it because, you know, there's pay and things like that going on. And I love to use this phrase, you know, if you're not coming over here, you're stealing the food out of your children's mouth. So...
Oh.
That's jeez. Savage as fuck.
Well then.
It's something that people never forget.
Wow.
And I'm going to quote that
dick.
Remind me to never work for Justin.
If you don't come work for me, your children are going to starve.
You're stealing the food of your children's mouth because most of my guys make bonus. Why do they make bonus? Because I'm their boss and all the other bosses over here will help you too.
Jeez.
Savage.
That's pretty fucking hardcore there.
It really is.
You're that guy.
I teach my guys how to kick ass. So my guys kick ass and make bonus. I have a desk littered with awards.
I'm just having this Wolf of Wall Street moment right now.
Have a desk littered with fucking Vault Boy shit.
I do have that too. My guys like me pretty well. And then I'm going to be somebody else's boss here soon. So I'm switching teams, and my team's going into my old assistant, which is now my position.
So you're playing for the other team, is what you're saying?
Well, the team across the aisle.
Mm. So you're recruiting for your team. I think that was Justin's coming out announcement.
I'm recruiting for the group.
Okay, so I was about to say, you're recruiting for your team, telling them that if they don't join your team, they're gonna have their children starve, and then you're going to fuck it up and leave them? You dick.
Don't starve.
Wow, you're an asshole.
They seem to like it pretty well.
I just tell it as I see it.
Dude's brutal.
I'm brutal. I'm effective too.
Hey, I can understand all the extra work, man.
I work a lot. I cram a lot. I'm a really working this job, even from my prior job where I was on call. I've gotten really good at figuring out how to manage my time. I'll watch other people that are in a position of authority walk around, meander, and hang out with their buddies, et cetera, so on and so forth. I am super fucking involved with my team, with the other teams around me, because me and the people that are over there are all super involved. Like, the level of dedication with everybody, I say everybody, there's people out there that are not, that are, but I'm just saying the average level of dedication with the rest of the people in their teams, mm-hmm. Let's just say, is at a 5?
Right.
Me and Auntie and some of the other guys that work with me are at, like, a level 9. And we are that much more engaged, but we, you know, our guys will work for us because we're that much more engaged, you know?
You're fucking intense is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm competent, like, you know, I'm moving to his team, and his guys are all very cool with me coming over.
All right.
I mean, there are some of the people that have actually set up. I get a lot of practical jokes that are done to me. So, like, everybody knows I hate Justin Bieber. And actually, somebody used to report to me and to Babs a long time ago gave some people the idea that I hated Justin Bieber. Because a long time ago, she Biebered my desk.
I Biebered the fuck out of his desk.
So some of this other team's agents stole a bunch of my post-it notes and started writing Bieber quotes and then adding my name to the end of it and then just posted them all over my monitors. Which I thought was pretty hilarious. That's evil. Like, you know, hey, it's endearing, right? You know, at least I'm not... At least these people don't hate me, you know?
I'm teaching my coworkers Korean.
You know Korean?
No, I don't know Korean, but I definitely changed their keyboard setup and their page layouts to display Korean.
You're that dick.
I'm going to be that dick now at work. I'm stealing that shit.
That's pretty good.
Somebody's keyboard's going to be in Korean tomorrow. I just have to decide who. First person to leave their keyboard unlocked.
I've created a monster.
Maybe not Korean.
Maybe something else. Computer security is a big thing, and it's one of the things that I went into school to learn. So when you're working in an office setting where your shit's supposed to be secure, you get up and you walk away and you leave your fucking keyboard. And you're still logged into it. You're not locking it. The first time you get a background that says "I need a hug," which is just a kitten that says "I need a hug." I don't see if you notice that. The next time you start learning Korean.
Oh, so evil.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't hurt anything.
It's very easy to hit Control-Alt-Delete.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even on Windows computers, you just hit the Windows key and L, and it locks the computer. That's it.
Hey, I didn't even remember that. That's even easier.
See?
You gotta learn something.
There you go.
Aww.
Dropping knowledge in this bitch.
Wow.
That being said, I got back into a game because me and Rusty, so we had an episode, Jason, where me and Rusty started talking about things that were potential Game of the Year candidates, and I think some of this episode will be that.
Oh, maybe.
I'll get into two games really quick, and then we can kind of start sussing out some of that stuff. But I started playing Starbound again. Now, nice. I can't start on a prior game when I've been playing something like that.
Oh, yeah, you've been playing the shit out of that, haven't you?
Yeah. So, if you look at my save file is close to 150 hours. I started about 111. I put 40 hours of Starbound in this week. And I'm going to say that game is pretty wickedly cool. Just the amount of variety of shit. Like, I got all different, all the different furnaces so I could upgrade everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at guides like, I first was looking at guides on how to help with some of the progression, because that was something I thought was a little bit broken. And then I figured out the progression actually pretty easily. And I don't know if they've changed something or what, but it'll say something like, you need to find this architecture on this type of planet, and it'll be this type of star.
Right.
And then you go there and you scan a bunch of stuff to find out about that culture, so it unlocks the dungeon. I have two dungeons left.
Okay.
And I have the max tier of all weapons, so I have tier 6 everything right now.
That's good. Start.
So I got like the fucking rainbow sword, which is fucking cool. That opens you up. I got the rainbow sword, the one that opens up the rift.
The rift.
That thing's cool as shit.
You're gonna love that.
It hits like a truck too.
Oh man, look for some of the extra. Special ones.
I got all the tiered armor too. I need to find some better ranged weapons. I'm using these crazy ass wands. Like I got this one that does these like crazy swords.
Uh huh.
That I really like. So I have the energy set that gives me the extra energy boost. Mm-hmm. And it still has actually super... There's like a set that's basically high energy, high damage, low health. That's the one I'm using right now.
Okay.
So like my swords hit for like 300. And then I eat like the, you know, the power food.
Right.
Whatever it is. The pus plum bullshit or whatever the gross food is.
Right.
The gross food also makes you really rage out. So like it hits for like 300. And then that wand hits for like almost 200 a hit. It has a little bit of a charge time, but the wands are useful because you can get around corners with them. So you get on the roof of something, and you see something below you. I figured out by holding control, you can move the map around. Like, uh-huh. I didn't even realize that for a long time. Then I figured it out. I was like, okay, well, this is easy as shit.
Yeah.
Just maneuver it to where I want, kill all the enemies with that, or the fucking acid rain wand I have, or the fucking, like, plasma wand I have that has this, like, rotating ball of plasma that just attracts to things and kills it. I've been using the shit out of wands and then the fucking rainbow sword.
You need to find the There's two ranged weapons that I found that was really fun to use.
I want to use that tentacle gun.
It's a tentacle gun that shoots eyeballs.
What about the eyeball gun? I heard that that one will do a shitload of damage, too.
Yes. If you get the eyeball gun, it only allows certain amounts of eyeballs to be out at any one time, but if you're constantly hitting something, it'll be a constant stream of eyeballs.
I got, like, the fucking laser sword shit, which is actually really cool that I'm using, too.
There's one that's steel balls that you can...
Balls.
That you fire out, and they magnetize back to your glove. So you can shoot, like, two or three of those, and they'll bounce around, and they'll come back to your glove. So you don't have to worry about, you know, worrying about energy or anything like that. You just use that item, and it'll go, which is really nice when you do the melee armor set. You don't have to worry about the energy.
Yeah, I have the melee armor set, the one that looks like a samurai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you use that with the rainbow sword and
the silver balls.
The silver balls and
silver balls.
They'd be clanking all over the place. Tell me when you get to the end boss, because the end boss is fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the bosses. I just finished the avian boss. Was the last one I finished the other night. Last night, actually. And then I got into another game, Everspace.
Yes.
Which I was like, you know what? I'm finally caught up from Christmas. I want to buy myself something little. I'm going to get a game. And then I was really considering Elite Dangerous. I was like, don't have the time. I've got to finish Game of the Year.
Right.
Got to finish Doom. That's like Doom and Final Fantasy are on my list. I want to try something that might be kind of quick. And it was, the other day it was on sale, I think, for $20. Snagged it. Because I was looking, I was literally going through lists while I was on break at work of, like, best space games. And it was like, arcade-like space shooter. Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah.
It looks cool. Been playing a little bit of that. That game is fun. That game is really fun. This is what it is. It's a starfighter roguelike. And what that means is, doesn't fly quite as good as Elite. Like, it could use some better precision. It takes some getting used to because it's got, your left is not your pitch and roll. It's up and down, side to side. So it's up, down, strafe, strafe.
Okay.
It controls a lot like my fucking drone. So, So, you know, it's different. It's a little bit different flying it, but once you get used to it, like I'm getting better with it, you actually line things up and it's got a little bit of auto aim too. So like if you're getting really close to where you need to be leading the target and you're firing your guns, it will lead into it and shoot. But basically, you go out and you find materials, you have power-ups, you upgrade your ship with the things you're finding in space, and then you fight enemies, and then you gather the rewards and the cash. And the cash is the most important part, because that's what you salvage afterwards. So you salvage the cash and then do further upgrades to your ship for the next run. So it's got 7 galaxies, and each one's randomly generated with a bunch of beautiful backgrounds with different enemy types. And you go from point to point, very FTL style.
Okay.
With less points. So let's say it's like 6 galaxies per deal. And then you, so, you know, for, that's like 42 galaxies, right? Or 42 little levels to get to the very end. And then there's capital ships. There's different variables for like different things to blow up. Little mission things pop up that tell you what you need to do, little objectives. But it's an early access, but I'll tell you this much. It's roguelike space dogfighting. It has first and third person perspective, and it flies fairly well. And there's a lot of variety to the weaponry as you upgrade it. There's only 3 ships right now, but that's going to be something on the horizon, along with a story mode and something else. But it's like, at this point, it is fun enough that I started 11 o'clock last night and then lost sleep. I looked at my clock, it was like 2:30, and I was playing. I thought, you know what, I'm going to play back in my bedroom through Steam Link, and then I'll get tired and I'll go pass out. I was looking at the clock, it's like 2:30. I don't have enough time to play this any longer. I need to quit. So, if you have that itch going right now, it seems fairly solid. Even in this state, it feels really solid. Like, I want to play it. I wanted to play it all day. So when I got home, I ate dinner, I played a little bit of it to show it off, and then also because I was jonesing to play it on the big TV.
Right.
But yeah, it does look really fucking good. It's on Unreal 4.
Yeah, I'd actually saw it when it first came on to Early Access, and because it was new to Early Access, I said, you know what, I've been burned on Early Access before, And
I lose on Xbox One right now too.
Right. Well, I want to play that game, but I wanted to wait because at that time they only had just the one ship, and they didn't have a whole lot of anything built into it yet. So they've updated it quite a bit, and I just kind of been waiting for it to get out of early access. I want to see a release.
I'd like to see the release, too. In its state right now, it's, like, easily the most fun I've had playing a dogfighting game since I played Wing Commander. Well, I've been looking for another Wing Commander for a billion years.
Well, I mean, every so often, the siren song that is Elite Dangerous calls to me.
And that's actually what I'm going to go back to once we get done with the Game of the Year episode.
Yeah, it...
I am so invested in playing that game again, it's not even funny.
I had as I was going through my email, which
they send their weekly newsletter.
Yeah, my weekly newsletter comes to my email, and there's a team of players that went to the point of no return and used a pulsar to supercharge their warp drives to make it to a star that they can't return from. So everything that they explore at the star and the cluster of stars that's beyond normal jump range, they can't bring back the data.
How do you supercharge from a pulsar?
You have to have a special set of warp drives, and then when you go to a pulsar, and pulsars are it's a spinning star that has two jets that go off the sides. If you fly into the jet of gas that's being shot off from the pulsar, those warp drives will absorb that energy and supercharge it. And then for one jump, it'll like double or triple the range.
So they literally, unless something pops up, there's no getting back for those guys.
They won't. There is no pulsars in that cluster, so they would not be able to get back. So they're off right now, actually exploring some place nobody's ever actually explored, and they're doing it in Anacondas. And to be able to get back to known space, they have to self-destruct, so they cannot bring their information back. So everything they see, they're documenting and putting up on a website so that people can see it, because nobody else is going to be able to know.
That's actually pretty interesting.
It's really cool that, those are, I mean, that's just one of the news stories that I saw come through on Elite Dangerous. Of course, they met aliens.
Are there aliens out in that area?
I don't know if it's out in that area, but there was...
No, because they discovered the alien thing came out on Xbox One first, actually, which I think was Elite's way of saying, hey, we actually support this platform, too.
Right, well...
And I'm actually okay with that. I mean, I'm usually the PC master race. I'll give Xbox that one. So the Xbox players are the ones that discovered it first, which is cool. That game's being supported on both platforms pretty well.
And that's great. I mean, there's so much in that game. Now that you can land on planets and be able to explore a bit
I think more. It's at that point right now where Horizons is like, it's going to hit that sweet spot. We don't have anything coming out, really, besides Torment.
The only thing that's close to what we're going to get from Elite Dangerous right now with the Horizons update is Star Citizen when it comes out.
Yeah, but I don't know what their pay model is going to be like, and it seems like a humongous cash grab.
Well, right now it is, yes.
I mean, people are selling ships and paying off houses.
Yes. I mean...
To categorize this, Babs, it's ships. People are selling ships they gathered in this game for 10 grand.
What the flying fuck?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean...
Because you could sink so much money to invest it, and they would unlock a special version of the ship. Mm. They also have that whole thing with the insurance that you can pay, and the insurance is what their currency is, and that insurance is actually fairly pricey from what I understand.
Damn.
So, the insurance is something you pay for. It's just, the cost of, a quarter of the game or something stupid.
How fucking bizarre.
They've This has raised more money from a self-funded campaign than anything else in history.
Apparently.
We're over 100. Are we around the 100 million mark right now?
We're looking at funds raised for Star Citizen. I'm pulling up their website right now. 141,984,160.
Holy God.
We're at past indie movie point. We're at not quite Call of Duty dollars.
Yeah, they have hit quite a few stretch goals.
Stretch goal is probably like, what, 5 million or something?
Yeah, well, I don't see any more stretch goals, honestly. I'm pulling down all the way down to the bottom.
What was their first stretch goal?
Their first stretch goal? Oh, God, I have to scroll all the way up again.
first world problems.
Oh. No, I mean, it's a long list is what I'm trying to say. Let's see. The first stretch goal was regular community update citizens with the appropriate packages will get to play multiplayer dogfighting module, and they'll receive access to a 30 mission Squadron 42 campaign upon release. That was the first stretch goal.
It didn't have a cash amount.
2 million.
Oh, that was the cost of what original Wasteland 2 was.
Right. The last stretch goal that I see on here was 65 million and increased the modules on the ships.
I'm just worried that at this point, like, they could just stop.
Stop development, take the money and run?
Yes.
Have you seen some of the video for it, though?
I have. It looks pretty awesome. Oh, my
God. The one that I'm referring to is the Sandworm. It's the gameplay. It's the gameplay video where they land onto a planet, take a few planet vehicles off to a crashed ship, and encounter a sandworm at the end. It marries all of the great things of, you know, space exploration. You know, dog fighting in space, first person shooters, ground exploration, all of those things. It's really, really ambitious. You know, and fuck, it's been, what, 3 years? More?
5 years they've been raising money for this.
Yeah, but I mean, it came up on our radar, you know, really early
this
on.
This came up on our radar back when Trent was on the show, back when Holly was on the show. Yeah. It's been in development a while.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Star Citizen for years now, and the idea is that this is going to come out sometime this year, or if not the end of this year.
Because of the way this has been funded and everything else, I've just been cautious about it. Like, all the ideas look great. I'm not spending like $300 in this game, though. Like, I'm not.
No,
right? Well, you know, I will spend $60 for a game like this. You know, something like that. That's what I'm willing to spend on a video game. Once we start getting into the beyond $65 range, $70 range, unless it's like a special edition that includes cool shit for me to have that I'll never find a place for, then I don't really care too much anymore.
Yeah, see,
I made the mistake with the subscription model of World of Warcraft and spent easily like $3,000 or $4,000 on that game.
Damn.
Well, I spent it over, like, 7 years.
Oh, okay.
But monthly subscriptions, updates, everything else, I think
that's
about...
That's a lot for a game.
Well...
It was on a $15 monthly subscription, and I was paying for it, and I did that from 2004 to, like, 2010.
Well, just look at this, if you would. These are some of the packages that you can purchase for real money for Star Citizen.
Damn.
That is one of the lower ships at $275.
Fuck you.
But you can get, let's see, view all ships because, I mean, they only put the cheap ones up here.
That's crazy.
Golly, if I could get down here to the really, really cool looking ones. Now, view buying options. Because, you know, you gotta have the buying options. That one's $250 as well. Now, things that I saw from Star Citizen that, you know, that give me, that say, this is going to be a really great game, is you can have your buddies doing the whole, you know, Millennium Falcon turret thing. While you fly the ship, they're controlling the guns. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of neat. But outside of this, the pay door is what we're most concerned about as gamers.
It looks like $60, so I'm acting like I'm playing right now. So, it said fly now. Please select a game package below. Starter packages include a ship, everything you need to play Star Citizen today, as well as a full game upon release. So, I select a Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
$45. And then, add Squadron 42 to your package. It says, take the role, so it's the campaign. Add to your package, $15.
Okay.
So, that's $60.
Okay, so you buy the starter ship for $45.
And you buy the campaign for $15.
Okay.
But is there a way for me to earn in-game money to buy another ship?
I'm sure.
There's got to be a way. Like, there's...
I can't imagine not.
I'm sure that
you... But it shouldn't be a pay get. It shouldn't be at such a place where for me to get the next ship, it takes me like 100 hours gameplay.
What really bothers me, is what really, I think, bothers a lot of people about this particular model is that somebody... with the money, could just go ahead and say, hey, fuck all the, you know, the extra...
Fuck all the peasants.
Fuck all the peasants. I'm going to start out with a fucking, like, you know, the top-tier fighter because I've got an extra $250 rocking around in my pocket.
That's kind of screw.
And it's basically... It's
setting a weird precedent.
Yeah, it's...
It is.
You know, and, I mean, that's not even the most expensive ship.
No, I know. It goes all the way up to like 1,000 or...
Yeah, when we were looking about a year ago, you know, the pledge ships, which was packages, you included the game and ships and things like that for working towards the pledge goals, they could get up into the $10,000 to $20,000 range.
Damn.
I mean, those are for the people who wanted to back and fund the game, but... As a person who wants to buy the damn game and just play it.
See, that's a lot of backing and funding there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. $60 I can work with. Anything more than that, and the option for anything more than that still kind of bothers me.
That is crazy.
Because some of those ships look really freaking cool. Look right here. The Completionist Digital, $15,000.
Okay, it's not that cool. Nothing is that fucking cool.
No, it's not.
Even if I won the lottery, I'd have a hard time throwing that kind of money down. You know what I mean?
That gets you, well, it looks like every ship. Yeah, it looks like every ship and multiple different versions of that ship. Along with a bunch of extra shit.
You can try to justify it all you want.
No, I don't have $15,000 just sitting around, do I?
Then buy a really fancy real doll.
Indeed it would. Something I could sit in the...
I could see people's wives going apeshit or boyfriends going apeshit. You spent what on what?
Man, when I get that lottery money...
Lord.
I'm sure Gabe Newell has it.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
You should look up his net worth. It's somewhere around like $140 billion or something stupid. For those of the uninitiated to the PC Master Race, Gabe Newell is the owner
Master
of...
Master what? Sorry?
Master Race.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
Yeah, he is a masturbator.
He is the owner of Steam and Valve.
And his most unlucky number is 3. He hates the number 3 for some reason. I'm not quite sure why.
Okay.
Half-Life 3.
Half-Life 2 ended on a cliffhanger where the expansion ended on a cliffhanger. And they never made another one.
Episode 2, Episode 3. Fucking cliffhanger for that's been, what? That's well over. God.
Jason, are you ever there getting my plague?
15 years?
Huh?
Are you getting almost? My plague?
No.
Jeez. So, how far are we into this podcast right now?
I don't know. Fuck. Like, I keep the time. Oh, yeah, I do. 53 minutes.
Do we want to take a break and come back? Because I think I want to start with some discussion that's going to take a while.
Okay.
Because I think what I would like to do after the break is maybe kind of go into what the candidates are. Because I feel like if we get this done this week...
That sounded very presidential of you.
Don't. If we get that done this week... Then we just have to figure out what goes into the categories.
Okay.
So we'll be back.
All right.
yet, son?
We have a really good reason to do this little pause. Rusty can't open a fucking can.
Oh, fuck. I don't have any fingernails anymore.
Aww.
All right.
That's what you get for cutting that shit off.
Well, I really should... Well, I get thermal grease underneath my fucking fingernails, and I need to get that shit out. So sometimes I just clip the fucking fingernails and be done with it. Anyway, you know, work shit.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a few things. You know that the next time we record, we're going to be talking about Game of the Year shit.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go through a list of games that we actually played and put them on the list. And you're not going to hear, like, our top fives or anything like that. The way that this game works is it's not going to be as complicated as a lot of other sites. We don't have that kind of time.
No.
It's a small miracle that we've been recording the last 4 months.
Right.
But we are dedicated to continue to do this, even though we've been having some difficulty putting out releases on a timely schedule. We're getting back to that. In fact, Rusty, we're going to be releasing them every Monday?
That's the goal. That's the goal. This weekend was kind of weird because I was playing catch up to everything else. So I will produce as soon as I can.
Okay, for last week's episode.
Okay. I'm a day behind, guys. It's really not a lot bad. I'll have it.
Terrible.
I'll have it for you by the end of consciousness tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, so what we're gonna release that, and then the following Monday we're gonna release the Game of the Year episode.
Right.
So you'll get last week's episode, this week's episode. So tentatively, Game of the Year will come out early February.
Ish. Yeah.
Yeah, because this the last week, February 6th is when it's gonna come out.
Okay.
For the Game of the Year episode.
Okay. No pressure.
No pressure.
I'm not trying to press. I'm not trying. I'll get her done.
Yeah, so we're going to go through. What we're going to do is we're going to go month by month. It'll be one of those things. Did we play it? Did we not play it? Does it deserve to at least be on the list? And we'll narrow it down next week.
Right. And I'm not hitting everything because I know some of the stuff that we've played and some of the stuff we haven't played. And a lot of the stuff that I get on these lists are, you know, some of the, you know, the mobile games I'm going to be skipping over unless it's something that I know that we've played collectively or at least one of us at the table has played. Did it break? Oh, okay. All right.
So let's start with January. What did we play, Rusty?
Things that I see that we've played. Punch Club was on there.
All right, so Punch Club, keep going.
Let's see here. Banners, Saga, no, that's the original, never mind. That was the re-release for the consoles.
Darkest Dungeon.
I think that should be something that might be discussed. So Darkest Dungeon.
Lego Marvel Avengers.
Do you think that should be
pretty something? Pretty much like me and my family.
So you want me to put Marvel Lego Avengers on there?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so Marvel. Okay, go ahead.
XCOM 2.
Hold on a second. Where the fuck are you going?
Huh? This is all January.
Are you sure?
What? Wait, no.
You're going a little farther on the XCOM's damn list.
XCOM's February. Never mind.
Hot.
Holy balls.
Sorry, I was trying to narrow down what we played as well, so.
Hey, calm your tits, Batman.
All right, Rusty, you're in charge of this.
Definitely Darkest Dungeon for sure. We've got...
I'm kind of looking through here to make sure that I don't see something that you guys missed, so just keep going.
Let's see. And I'm skipping over things that are basically ports or re-releases.
Yeah, because that's not going to really make it into this list, I don't think.
No.
Let's see here.
When did Firewatch come out?
February, I think.
Okay, I'm putting that on the list.
Okay. Well, definitely XCOM 2. That was a February release. Firewatch was a February release as well.
Along with Far Cry Primal.
Did anybody here play that?
I didn't play it.
Did you play it? Okay, I didn't play it either.
I played a bit of it, but I have not played enough to really consider it for anything.
Well, I see something that should be on the list. It's probably, it's, I don't know what month it's in, but I would say Stardew Valley is going to end up being on this list somewhere.
Stardew Valley is going to end up on this list.
All right.
That's a February release as well for that. I'm going through them.
Oh, we're going through pretty quickly. We're all through going through this.
The Division needs to be put on there.
So we're going to, it'll be talked about.
We'll be talking about it because we did play it and there's differing opinions on the table.
Okay.
Salt and Sanctuary.
Okay.
Let's see. There's a long list of things
here. Oh, I know, so. I know. That's why we're going to keep kind of shouting it as we go. If you see something that needs to be on here, I think. Damn.
Hyper Light Drifter.
Okay.
Enter the Gungeon.
Sure.
Quantum Break.
Did we any of us play that?
I have it, and I plan on playing it, but it's I haven't.
It's not gonna be played enough to go on this list,
right? Dark Souls 3.
Yeah, totally.
Dark Souls. Gotta have it.
What are we gonna do when there's no more Dark Souls?
I'm just gonna throw that out there. Just
Dark Souls.
Just Banner Saga 2.
Okay. See, those things that you forget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did the Hitman finish?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through. It may be one of those, like, I talk about it next year things.
Okay.
It's on, to be fair, that game has made a lot of people's Game of the Year list. I didn't make mine yet, just because I played it on release, on the finished release, instead of that release. But Doom
was on, yep, you can put Doom on there.
Doom.
Uncharted 4.
Yep.
Because that's got to go on there.
Yep. Did anybody play Battleborn?
No.
Let's see here. Wow, there is a lot of shit. Overwatch needs to be talked about.
Okay.
Yep.
So I played a fair bit of that. That's a port.
That's I'm into July through September right now.
Right.
Where are you at? Pokemon Go should be talked about.
Yes, Pokemon Go needs to be talked about. Wow. I want to put Mighty No. 9 on the Raz list.
You played it, right?
Unfortunately. 7 Days to Die actually came out for the consoles, so it's not ready. And I don't think that we need to talk about it, though.
I'm putting Starbound on there.
For sure. Starbound needs to go on there.
Batman Telltale series.
Yep. It finished release before the end of the year.
Yeah, it actually finished release in December. No Man's Sky needs to be on this list.
Yeah, Under the Razors, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Mankind Divided.
Oh, yeah, Deus Ex.
Yep.
Mankind Divided. Man, that's a pretty big list already.
I'm going through it. I'm a little bit behind you guys, but I'm still going through it. Inside is there.
Inside should be on that list. Fuck.
Halcyon 6.
For sure. Halcyon 6 needs to be on that list.
And
ooh.
God, this list is long.
Oh. Civ 6.
Yup.
Civ 6 needs to be there, yup.
I'm finally into
Uckham. Tyranny.
Tyranny, yes.
Now we're starting to get into stuff that's recent.
Gears 4.
Yep, Gears 4 for sure.
Dishonored 2.
Yep. Damn.
Wow.
What?
Some of the stuff that I'm skipping over would be on other people's lists, but not on, you know, on our list for sure. You know, like Forza for, you know, is something that would be, you know, Forza, FIFA, you know, a lot of the other games that we don't normally play, but would be on other people's list. Metronomicon's on there.
You want me to put that on there?
Yeah, it's a decent game. I'll talk about it.
Let it die. Abzu. Dead Rising 4.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 15.
Yep.
Because that's getting on there.
I never got around to Last Guardian this year. And... okay.
That's pretty much it.
We didn't I'm actually going through here. You know what's really crazy? I'm going to actually go through something. This will show you how different our lists are. So there's also highest critically reviewed games on Metacritic. Uncharted 4, Inside, Out of the Park Baseball 17.
Wow.
The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, Blood and Wine.
Yeah.
Overwatch, Forza Horizon, Steven's Sausage Roll. NBA 2017, Kentucky Route Zero, Act 4.
Right.
Res Infinite.
Yeah, Res Infinite did actually come out, though I remember the original Res, and it was it was a music-based shooter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking that, I mean, Thumper came out, which was an indie game that I got, and that's a rhythm game really, really, really cool, very simple. But it's very simple, but once it starts going, there's a lot of extra moves. You have to be really quick about it. And it's I guess it's available for VR, too, so there's that.
So now that we got a...
Titanfall 2 came out.
None of us played it, though.
None of us played it.
That's how big that list is.
Jeez.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
And Call of Duty Infinite Warfare came out, and nobody played it.
Battlefield 1, none of us played it.
Right. I got an interesting concept. So, right now, that's the list that we got to work with. They're going to dither down. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this in a...
Watch Dogs 2.
I'm going to put this in a doc, and a document online that we can all edit. And then we're going to go through, and we're going to actually kind of start organizing these lists. I'll put separate tabs, and I'd ask you guys...
to do extra work.
To not look at the other tabs and put your top five in it. Or just do that on your own. But I'll put all these games on a doc that you guys can all see.
Okay.
So I'd like you to bring 10 that you want with you that you're going to have to dither down to 5. And if you don't have 10, that's okay. But the idea is to get it down to 5. And be ready to explain why those are relevant to you. And then we have to battle it out for Game of the Year. And the way that it's going to work... because everybody will probably get one in there. Some people are going to get two. Because there's three of us for 5 games.
Oh, yeah. So, you guys are going to get two, probably.
The problem is that some of those games we're going to agree on, so...
And that's okay. That's actually the point.
Okay.
That's actually the point. So, okay. And this was going to be representative of what Tilcast considers our best gaming experiences of last year.
Now, there's also... some games that we're going to talk about that just burned our ass.
It's true.
You know, so
there's going to be a few of those, and there's going to be a few of those that I felt like were overhyped. I'm not specifically just jumping in on No Man's Sky. There's other games in here that I wrote in that I don't feel met the expectations I was looking for, and I'm prepared to explain why. That being said, though, that's the list of games we're discussing next week, or potentially discussing. We're going to dissect this a little bit, which is why I decided to get it all out right now. So that we're doing it on the show, you guys can kind of hear the very incredibly complex practice that we have. Read off a list of games and figure out which ones are even going to be talked about.
And the thing is that I might actually revisit this full list of games and find one that, you know, that I missed or that we all collectively missed. Then I'm like, oh, well, that was a fucking fun game. Or this one burned my ass and I fucking hate it because it burned my ass. So
I'm going to do one more thing, and I know that I'm throwing a curveball at you guys.
Please. Extra work.
Come on. This isn't more extra work. This is work right now.
Okay.
So hearing this list and hearing us read through this and looking through these lists, is there anything on there that you are wanting to play next year or this year that you didn't get to play last year that you're really jonesing for?
God damn.
Name one thing.
One thing. Shit.
That might have made it on your list that you never even got a chance to touch.
That would require me to look over the last few months worth of stuff, because
that's when you're missing it all.
Right. That's where I've been missing.
So I can tell you.
I know Jason's got this.
I started saying I can tell you three of them right off the top, and that's the Telltale Batman, Dishonored 2, and Gears 4.
I'd like you guys to play Gears 4. That game's pretty fun.
I extremely want to play Gears 4, but I haven't even been able to complete Doom. So,
well, and that's something. I'm like at the very end of that game, so I just need to finish it off. It's a fairly difficult game. I decided to try it on hard my first time through, and I'm stuck. I need to chainsaw some things, get some ammo, and then just not die over and over to, like, cyber demons. But...
Strafe, man. You just
gotta strafe. I gotta get back in that mode. You actually have to up the sensitivity of your mouse, I think, so that you can get into, like, super combat mode. But...
You're right.
It's a challenging game. I like it, though. I think, for me, it's two. I never played... I'd like to play more Let It Die. So I guess it's three. But things I actually didn't touch, Last Guardian. I'm a really big fan of that guy's games. I really want to play that game a little bit. Though I just didn't have the time to sink my teeth into it. And then I really, really, really wanted to play Titanfall, but just multiplayer.
Titanfall 2 would be my fourth.
Yeah. Titanfall was one of the games that I would probably play, but I don't want to buy that game right off. I don't want to buy another first person shooter. I don't even care if it has to do with, you know, Titans coming from the damn sky. I don't want to buy another first person shooter. That's why I didn't buy into Battlefield 1. I didn't buy into any of the Call of Duties or anything like that. I stayed the hell away from first-person shooters pretty much all year. I think I can pat myself on the back on that one.
And there's stuff that's coming out this year that I'm really looking forward to as well. But there's also things I really want to revisit. I'm in space mode again.
Yeah.
Playing Everspace puts me in that mode. And so, in my head, this week I'm going to endeavor to finish Starbound and Doom.
Well, I was in RPG mode.
And I don't think I'm going to finish Hitman that fast, so I'm just kind of like, these are the things that I'm going to finish this week if I can. But I got a lot on my plate with work, too, so there's just a lot of things for me to do. I'm going to have to put Everspace down for a week, get through these things. And these are not slogs because they're good games, but the only thing I dislike about this part of the show is just there are some things I actually would rather be playing right now. I really want to play some Everspace and Elite Dangerous really badly. But I'm going to put that off and finish what I got on my plate because I have a hard time with that. We all know this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I really want to play the DLC for Dark Souls 3, but I'm going to wait till the full DLC release and then go back to it. Trent got that for me for Christmas, and it's fucking Dark Souls. I love Dark Souls. But I'm waiting on the time for that experience when there's a slow point. We also got, you know, Torment, Tides of Numenera that comes out next month.
Right.
That was super cool when I played just the intro, and they've apparently tweaked a shitload on that. It was locked to the first chapter, was all you could get through. Which is smart, because I tired myself on Wasteland, and it started off being a slog getting through the first 20 hours of the game, then it opened up again, and I was like, oh, great.
Yep.
But I have been waiting on that, because I figured I would probably enjoy that. And then we got Divinity 2, which is in an early access, which I purposely didn't touch, because I knew it was only one mission, or one chapter.
Right.
And that, the last one, was pretty fucking solid.
Yeah.
So, maybe name some things that you're looking forward to maybe revisiting.
Well, I would really like to get through Divinity before playing Divinity 2, just for, you know, story's sake.
When we figure out when your schedule's a little bit less crazy, maybe we either do it co-op or we just get through it.
I just want to get through it. And that just requires me to sit down and actually play the damn game.
It's totally worth it.
Yeah. Okay. I've been in... You know, in RPG mode for the past, 3 months? 2 months now? Jeez. So...
Well, Divinity's a good...
You know, Final Fantasy game. RPG mode, so...
Yeah, I'm gonna try... Oh, I gotta try to finish that, too.
I want to get my hands on Watch Dogs 2, because I heard it was better than the original Watch Dogs. I kind of want to... I want to try out... Space Hulk Deathwing, even though
it's getting universally shit on.
Even though it's getting universally shit on, just because 40K was a thing.
Space Marine's really fucking good, though.
Right. I kind of want to actually get into what was the other one? Shit.
I'd say I'll probably play more Don't Starve too, because that's pretty fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonored 2, I guess, is one of the ones that I've been kind of holding off on. I don't know why.
It's really good. It's easily the best Dishonored by a long shot.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier to hide. Going a chaos run is way more fun than actually doing a stealth run. So it is actually way more fun to just...
kill everything.
And it makes you want to. Everybody that's dying deserves it like 100-fold. It's great. That game's brutal as fuck. Yeah. It has some really fucking cool things in it.
I'm looking back through here really, really quickly, and I mean those are the games that kind of stick out for me as ones that I need to work on. I do want to do it's the time thing that Trent got me. Fuck, guys. My brain's not working at the moment.
Explain the game.
Quantum Break. That's the game.
Yeah, I've heard that's because, a pretty interesting.
I mean, Trent got it for me. I haven't actually... I've got it installed and that. From what I understand, it's... You watch a miniseries. It's got a miniseries that goes along with it, I guess. So... I'm all right with watching shows. That's cool. if it's a show with some gameplay and then another episode of a show, it's kind of like Netflix. So I think it would be all right-ish. I like story in a games, and that would be a good way to put story to it. But...
it's just my ADD's killing me. It's like, I do want to go back to Let It Die, but I got myself to a point where it's like, all right. I can let the game go for a minute, and then I'll come back to it.
Right. Well, another thing that I do want to get my hands on is I need to actually purchase Horizons.
Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh, Horizons for Elite Dangerous.
Right.
And, oh, abso-fucking-lutely. And when we do that, we'll do the private server thing again, and we'll
go do some exploring.
Yeah, we can do some space trucking.
Because
do some space trucking, I can be your wingman, or.
I saw there was a post that I saw, and I saved it.
And they're putting out more ships too, right?
Yeah, but most of this, like the landing stuff, you're going to need an Anaconda to be able to carry your lander.
Oh, I carried a lander and a fucking, like a Viper.
Oh, I didn't know it was that small.
Yeah, it's just a module. You put it, it like takes up the space of like two cargo bays.
Oh, okay. Well,
so like, you could get a Cobra and put a lander in it.
Cool. All right.
Like, I was actually thinking about getting a Cobra and kitting it out to have multiple loadouts, you know, for like a dogfight loadout, because it's not the most maneuverable, but it's pretty fast. And you could put some serious fucking weapons on a Cobra.
You can, yeah.
And like, out of all the fighters, you can definitely put a heavier loadout and better heat management with a Cobra than you can a Viper. It's just not as nimble.
I just want to... There's a... there is a link that I saved that includes instructions on how to get enough credits to buy an Anaconda and the insurance for the Anaconda in one day.
That's one hardcore day, isn't it?
And it seemed like it was fairly simple to do. So I'm going to...
Well, I'm about to have 3 days off. So after this week, I'm going to back to the 3 days off schedule. So
you realize it takes you like 2 days to get to the point where you can fly, right?
Oh, you mean like fly well?
Oh, well, yeah, you could fly and bump into shit. But, I mean, to the point where we were at before we left, we were dogfighting and shit. And I wouldn't be able to do that right now.
No, I got to the point where I could dogfight with a fucking Sidewinder and actually collect bounties with a Sidewinder that was kitted out as best I could get it.
We were playing with, what was it, Vipers that we were playing with?
No, it was the one ship that you could put two badass beam lasers on.
Right.
It's not a Viper, it's the Vultures.
Vultures, that's it, that's right.
We're going to have a fleet and a base somewhere that we're going to put all this shit.
Because I have an Asp and a Vulture, a couple of Vultures set up for, one for beams and one for, you know, for guns.
Well, I still have all that shit. Like, I'm not letting that go because that was a pretty hefty save file. I started a new game just to learn it, you know, like another Sidewinder. And I was like, this is hard to go back to. But I don't want to blow up one of my good ships.
I think the link that I'm referring to tells you how to get all of the credits that you need in a Sidewinder. So it can't be that hard.
In a Sidewinder?
Yeah.
So you could go from Sidewinder to Anaconda?
Yeah.
That's crazy sauce.
Let me...
Well, we'll talk about it after.
Yeah,
we'll talk
crazy sauce.
Crazy sauce.
It really is. Like, you don't understand. Like, this was me and Rusty playing for a month or two. And not be able to buy this ship.
I played for a month just to be able to afford an Asp so that I could go do a month-long space exploration run and came back just so that I could... And had just enough money to...
We probably got about 200 or 300 hours on that game apiece.
Yeah. I mean, I played it religiously for a bit. And it was... And it's one of those games that you kind of... You
literally in it for the long haul if you're going
to
play it.
Right, because if you stop playing it for a while, you forget how to control your damn ships, and it takes some, like, mental dexterity to figure that shit out
sometimes.
Once
you get pretty good, though, like, you know, I was playing Everspace, and, like, I kind of suck at flying with it right now. I'm a little bit better than how I fly my drone so far. So it's, you know, not quite that nimble. But I felt like an Elite Dangerous. I could fucking flip that thing. I felt like fucking one of the pilots from Battlestar Galactica when I was playing in Elite Dangerous. Like, I felt like I got good enough that I could outfly just about anything. And I felt really fucking solid about my skills of running it without any of the extra shit. Because, like, part of being that nimble is putting it, getting it off that into drift mode, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you could fly basically straight up and then sideways at the same time and, like, do weird-ass barrel rolls around things and flip up backwards and be flying at afterburner speed backwards shooting something that's flying after you. So it's like, oh, you're going to get on my tail. You're going to get on my six. I'm flipping this bitch around and I'm going to fire missiles at you and fucking lasers and guns.
Yeah,
and you're dying.
I felt confident.
And then I could flip it back around and then join my wing. Like, I felt like that much of a badass pilot.
Yeah, I felt confident enough when I was playing it to be able to fight things up to Anaconda level.
Well, I was getting that ballsy with it where I was taking even the freighters and I was putting better engines on them so that I could fly them better and then kitting them out with a couple of guns so that I could take my freighter. As, you know, in my head, I'm Han Solo, right? So I'm taking this, like, thing that's basically a tugboat and, like, learning how to fight with it.
God.
Anyways, we're getting off on a tangent.
Right.
I think those are some things that I really want to play. Anyways, I think that's like where we're going to end up going with the show next week. Was there anything noteworthy in the news that we need to talk about? I mean, aside from we know that Half-Life, like Gabe Newell did that Reddit, that live Reddit thing.
Right, the Ask Me Anything.
They asked me anything and then basically confirmed again he's not doing Half-Life 3.
He just said, we don't talk about the number 3.
Yeah, he really did say we're not doing that, and despite how much people are asking him. But he did mention that they're working on new titles, which is kind of a cool thing because, hey, I mean, Valve has not really put out shitty products. Wasn't a big CSGO fan, but
right.
The only thing I'm worried about with Valve right now is they're going to go for something that makes the max amount of money. Does that make sense?
And that makes... It makes sense, but it doesn't necessarily make...
They're not necessarily going for the next big single-player game or anything like that right now.
You know what?
And then with that, I mean, Gabe was basically also saying that, hey, we're not... For me to be... When we made those games, I was really involved in the development process.
Right.
I'm not at that point anymore. He's more on the business side of it. And creatively, the guy is really fucking smart. Some of the best games of several generations have come from Valve. But they haven't been doing games because they put out a game about every 6 or 7 years now. And it's something like Dota 2, which you do tournaments around and they make millions of dollars with. And it's one of those things where it's more almost a spectator sport. While in its own right, it's cool. It's not the common man's game. And then CSGO is kind of the same thing. It's like turned into a thing where you get like the super good people are playing it, but it's not some. It's all competitive, crazy-ass multiplayer shit. I'm looking for another Portal. Or another Half-Life type game where it's a single player experience, and I just don't see that on the horizon with Steam, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, because he's no longer actually getting into the development, that's why we're not seeing another Half-Life 3. Though, I mean, if they were looking for something that would make them a ton of money right off the bat, just releasing a Half-Life 3 would do it. The collective blue balls of the internet and game, you know, PC gamers would fawn all over a Half-Life 3 release, just to say, oh my god, I finally have Half-Life 3, even if it's shit. And I think that's the reality here, is even if it's shit, they would still say at least it was made.
Well, but so the thing is he's really in on the tech thing. I mean, you got the HTC Vive that was released through Steam. And in stores now, you know.
Right.
You got the Steam boxes or like my Steam Link. My Steam Link gets used like crazy right now because it's super fucking handy. And it's a bit buggy at first, but like that game I was showing you in the living room,
mm-hmm.
I was playing that through Steam Link with pretty much no controller input lag or anything. Like playing that through my network and not seeing any kind of issue with it. And it's gotten a lot better. I don't know. I'm still a little bit hesitant to play Doom on it. But like, that's an Unreal 4 game that I'm playing right now that looks really fucking good, Everspace again. And I'm really fucking surprised at how well it works. You know, I've played Starbound in there, which that's nothing, but...
Right.
Like, playing games like that, and then it's actually working, it's like fucking wizardry. You know, I don't have to have two computers or lug my computer to a different room. It's Steam Link it. Don't Wi-Fi this, put it on an Ethernet cable, but Steam Link it, and this thing is fucking badass.
It's a decent product. I wish their controller was a little bit better. Though I don't have the problem that you have, where you can't wrap your mind around the Steam controller for whatever reason. I can use it just fine. But I prefer the Xbox controller. In fact, when I'm playing on PC games and I'm using a controller, I'm just moving the USB cable from my Xbox over to my PC. You know, because I prefer that. Though I think you need to get a new controller.
So that, yeah, start site, you know, that new one I bought over the holidays?
Uh-huh.
Fully Bluetooth enabled.
Really?
Yeah.
So something else that you might not hear, this is the part that I was kind of talking about. You got people like the old id people that have been creating a bunch of other crazy stuff, you know? I mean, it led into the development of VR again. Was old id people, right? I can't remember his name for the life of me, but you know who I'm talking about.
Carmack,
yes, yeah. John Carmack. So you got him that started getting VR back into a thing again, And then that came out. And then, you know, that's definitely in its infancy, but we're starting to get games. And we have Bridge Crew that's coming out pretty soon. We got a bunch of other stuff. So like, I think maybe 2 years down the road, it might become more of a thing. But it's definitely a thing now
right.
that people are developing towards. I think, so Gabe in this Reddit AMA, like, went even way further than that. He's lurking at brain-neural interfaces on ways to interact with games. That's fucking crazy sauce. Again, well, I use that word.
But it's not necessarily a new idea. They had been there's been science already created for putting.
Well, how do you think prosthetics? Peripheral. There's some prosthetics that now work using your nerve impulses, but that is like a technology that is not readily accessible nor cheap.
No, it's not readily yeah. accessible or cheap, but the prototypes have been there for a bit. There was, the prototype that I was thinking of was a scientific experiment, put a big honking piece of, you know, peripheral on a person's head, and the guy was paraplegic, yep. and that allowed him to play a simple game like Super Mario.
Most of the jump
and things like that, just based off of his brainwaves.
Most of the issues with a lot of that has been mobile computing and as far as power, and then just power supply in general.
But I think it's just a crazy idea that, like, the thing he's thinking about, if he could get there at some point, is I want you to be able to control a game without a controller. Instead of motion controls or virtual reality, he's like, I want you to think about it and be able to do it.
I'm sorry, like, that just seems like two steps away from Skynet.
It's also about four steps away from Holodeck, so...
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that if in my lifetime that happens, that's pretty fucking incredible, like, on a lot of different fronts besides gaming.
True.
That's just something that you just... When I was a kid, you know, you didn't think about that kind of thing. In college, I wasn't thinking about anything nearly that far-fetched, but technology... accelerates in crazy bursts sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 200 years, technology is like snowballed incredibly quickly. It wasn't even that far back when I started the show. I didn't have a smartphone.
Yeah, I know.
And everybody made fun of that shit brick that I carried around. But I'm just saying, smartphones were still a fairly new thing.
Even that, smartphones, for that matter, I mean... Shit, I think about it like, 8 years ago? The quote, smartphone can't do much more than look at your email and surf the web.
Right. Well,
I mean.
Well, I mean, a long time ago, I got a World of Warcraft run on a smartphone. I worked for Sprint for a short time a long time ago. I got it working on a Trio. It had a Windows interface, like Windows CE or something like that.
Jeez.
We got a really stripped-down version to work on it because I worked overnights and had nothing but time on my hands and playing World of Warcraft. Figured out how to upload it on a phone that we had in the building and was demoing World of Warcraft, moving really crappily, trying to use the on-screen keyboard keys to make it work and then the actual keypad. Jeez. It was a fucking clusterfuck, but hey, right. you know, hey,
you've got
I'm in my early 20s and I'm like, oh, this is really fucking cool.
Right. Now, the big things that we're going to see here in probably in the next year or two is going to be, you know, the explosion of VR as a legitimate platform for gaming.
Well, and that's even something that's more short term for him. He's talking about sensing individual fingers.
Well,
and yeah. that's already somewhat of a thing right now. We have those new controllers that have like it looks like a sword guard. Like, imagine a rapier, you know, mm-hmm. and you have that hand guard.
Uh-huh.
That's what it looks like. You're holding two hand guards, and then it senses simple movement like your thumb and the rest of your fingers, but he's talking about getting it to track individual finger movements inside that.
Well, I mean, a modified power glove will do that.
But it's no glove. It's just tracking it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's the future. You put something on your hands, you know, that's going to be able to, you know, to track your digits.
Well, shit.
Be able
not
to,
too far distant future, there is a peripheral wristband being developed
that will project
your phone screen on your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want everybody looking at my arm.
Well, I mean, my arm is nice and white,
It'd make a pretty good screen.
Well, I'm just saying, let's say it's really cold outside.
And you don't want to hold...
Pull your phone out of your pocket.
Yeah, because it is Bluetooth. It's connected to your phone.
It's a cool idea, but I'm saying some of this other stuff is a little bit more, I think, even more future tech than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm just saying, even getting the control base for something like that to work, 10 years ago we would have thought that we're a little bit crazy.
Fiction. Yeah. Well, VR 10 years ago, or more, actually,
late 90s. I had a Virtual Boy. That was my 3D experience as a kid.
late 90s.
I was a high schooler.
Whenever Duke Nukem 3D came out.
You could play that in VR, couldn't you?
Right. They had a VR headset for that.
But you remember the graphics on that, on how it didn't do things. It did things in a 3D space, but they were 2D sprites.
Right. But, I mean, with
the... So you walk around the toilet and it's always the same angle?
Right. But the... the headset was set up in such a way that it was two separate screens, slightly offset, so that you had the 3D, the 3D vision experience. And they had a puck, which was really basic. It was an accelerometer that would tell you go forward and backwards, and you aimed with your head. A trigger. They set you up in a round cage so that you could do the whole 360 movement. But that was the first thing. That was my first experience with a VR headset, and that was in the late 90s. So to see what VR is now and the fact that it's going into people's homes, the only complaint that I have with it right now is that it's fucking expensive.
Yeah, the barrier to entry is, as let's say if you go from nothing to that, your cheapest experience is going to be on PlayStation. Then if you're going to go PC, you need one of the higher-end graphics card or higher-end CPU, higher-end...
Yeah,
you even need special USB ports on your computer.
Total with the equipment, PC entry is close to $3,000, isn't it?
I'd say $2,000. You can build the PC for about $1,100, and then your rig is going to cost you about $800.
Okay. Yeah,
and then games.
Yeah, but it's still high, and it's still
with PS4, it's close to the cost of two consoles, isn't it?
It's about two consoles, so you're still talking. You're still pushing a grand.
You're still pushing a grand for entry.
This is still a rich boy's toy,
mm-hmm.
or some of the agents that work for me that have like no bills.
Right.
We have a kid that works for us. It's like 19.
They live in mom's basement.
Literally lives at home making adult wages, and he does that. Or Chad, you guys know Chad.
Yeah.
Chad lives at home that makes race cars and is working after a lot of tenure. He's making adult wages with no bills.
Living the life.
I think he's got three, like, 40-inch monitors.
Oh, well, I mean, when you've got it...
And VR and, like, two hot rods.
Hey, whatever. I mean, if I could set up...
Still living at home at, like, 25.
Set myself up a video wall so that I could play a game on a 70-inch screen and have a couple, five 50-inch screens over top of it, playing whatever's on fucking TV at the time. I could sit there and grind on any one of those games and just be watching the news or some shit on one of the five screens that I've got. I really, really want to get into VR. It's just really fucking expensive
right now. I'll be getting a Switch before that happens, and I'm not even sure when I'm getting a Switch.
I'll be
in PAX when that comes out, or right after that comes out, so I can't really afford it day one.
I mean,
my aim is to get the Switch sometime by this summer.
My aim would be probably getting, either a PlayStation 4 Pro, or if I get more details on what Scorpio is going to cost, probably upgrade to a Scorpio. I haven't bought a Nintendo device since
the Wii. Okay.
And I only owned the Wii for a couple weeks because I was disappointed with its video, with its graphics quality. I'm kind of a snob like that, but when you've got an HD Xbox and you've got a composite video Wii, they don't equal. Not on my screen, anyway. So
that, do we have anything else to add, or are we kind of wrapping up?
I think
the news is, yeah, there really wasn't much there this last week.
They're just saying there's good things happening with Scorpio, and they're, you know, the guys at Microsoft is, you know, kind of hyping that up a little bit, but they're not releasing too much more information about it.
So that, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Find our YouTube channel and twitch.tv channel at The Real Tiltcast. And search for us on iTunes.
Find the friends of the show, For the Love of Gaming, thecarouselpodcast.com, bmfcast.com, nudquarters.net, and tvgp.tv. They do great things. With that, we are fucking done. Until next week.
Fucking done.
It's the other goddamn show. Peace.
Peace. Thank you.